Shalom everyone, and today we're going to study about the month of Iyar, Taurus, and we're going to try to decipher what is what are the messages that this month is bringing to us, especially nowadays, that no year is similar to the year before that, and the year before that, of course. Things are changing very, very intensely, very fast. And the world that we knew for the last few decades is changing so fast just in front of our eyes. So what is it that we are going through? And what does the month of Taurus have to tell us about this process that we all are going through as all of humanity? So let us start just the basics to understand the basic forces that are available in the universe during the time of the month of Taurus. So whoever knows some Kabbalah understands that there is a pattern that is connected to the tree of life. And this pattern repeats itself in many, many places, since this is basically the pattern of the DNA of the tree of life. And because the whole universe is standing, built around and upon the tree of life, we will see the tree of life manifesting in any aspect of reality, either anatomy, chemistry, physics, and the cycle of the year, and in this case, the cycle of the year. So in the cycle of the year, we have the cycle divided into four periods that are called the four seasons. In some countries, you see the four seasons much better, some countries less. However, because the Earth orbit around the sun is elliptic, you have exactly four seasons, which means four quarters that are very definite and very easy to see. You have the equinox, which means the 2 days of the year that the day and night are equal, which is the beginning of the fall and the beginning of the spring. You have the day of the longest night, okay, which is the beginning of the winter, and the day of the shortest night, which is the beginning of the summer. So around these 4 points, although it's like the year is a cycle, still it is elliptic, and therefore you must have four very definite seasons. Now, the Hebrew calendar, which is lunisolar, the four dates that I just mentioned, they are the axis points over which every lunisolar calendar is structured. What does it mean? It says in the book of Exodus, when the secret of the lunisolar year, which is a kind of a mathematical equation that you have to know in order to operate a lunisolar year. What does it mean? You have 12 moons, but in a year, but the 12, and that's why the word month, even in English, is coming from the word moon. Okay. So, but 12 moons, which is the easiest way to measure a month, 12 moons are only 355 days, while a solar year is 365 days. You have 10 days and few hours missing when you count the years. And therefore, you need to add 7 moons every cycle of 19 years in order to balance the lunisolar calendar, which means you need to have had another moon seven times in a cycle of 19 years. So the Hebrew biblical calendar is built like this. And also most of the calendars of the Far East, either the Indian or the Chinese, or all of them are based on the same math, which brings it that you need to have, if I just want to explain it in an easy way, when it says, when that secret is being given to Moses and he's teaching it to the Israelite nation on you can find it in chapter 12 in the book of Exodus, just in the beginning. And there it says very clearly that Passover is the month of the spring. What does it mean? That the holiday of Passover, full moon in Aries, cannot fall before March 21st, which is the equinox of the spring. And therefore, as you remember, because you're missing 10 days and few hours every year, so then the moons are moving slowly backwards. And therefore, if it happens to be that Passover can fall before March 21st, then there's a new moon. There's an additional moon, twice Pisces, Adar 1 and Adar 2. And that happens seven times in every cycle of 19 years. Okay, but you have, so again, you have this axis of four days a year, that the cycle of the 12 moons, they revolve around this axis. So you play with that in order to keep the moons, the suns, the signs according to the moon. However, you have to keep up that it somehow the spring always comes in the spring and not somewhere else. Like when you have a lunar calendar, you see that you have the Muslim calendar is lunar, then the Muslim holidays, they just simply float through the year, like moving backwards. So if the Ramadan was in the spring last year, this year it was in the end of the winter, and then it's the next few years it's going to be deeper and deeper into the winter, and then it's going to slide into the fall. So now that we understand that we have a play over here, and again, when is the sign is starting? And as we know, whoever knows exactly what's going on in astronomy knows that the moons or the sign, the zodiac signs, that the solar zodiac signs that have been marked by the ancient Mesopotamians or the ancient Egyptians, that happened about 4,000 years ago. Since then, the angle, because the Earth is not just going elliptically around the sun, but the Earth is also tilted to the side. So the axis of the circle of the Earth is pointing somewhere angled. And that is changing every few thousand years, which means the northern star 4,000 years ago was not the same star we call the northern star today. And that means that when we are talking about it right now, we are entering into the sign of Taurus. Okay? The sun is not in the sign of Taurus right now. And for thousands of years already, the sun has does not go through the same zodiac formulations in the heavens, constellations, star constellations, as it used to be in the same time. And therefore, if you just count about the astronomy today is totally different than astronomy of the ancient times. So can we really say that this is right now Taurus? And the answer is yes, because as we learn, God is telling Moses and Aaron in Egypt, the formulation of the zodiac signs is mine, and I'm giving it to you. And from that day on, the Israelite nation declares when is the beginning of a new sign, and the whole world goes back after that. And that's why you still have the only explanation, how come astrology is still somehow working, anyway, statistically, because you can't say that everybody Taurus is exactly the same. And also you have different rising signs, and so still there is a statistical thing in astrology. It's not exact science. You have to remember that, because there's so many pieces of information involved that it is not really like black and white. And that gives us free will. The free will to determine these are the influences and this is what we're going to do with it. And since we are the ones who determine the change of the signs, this is giving to us. That means that gives us humans the power to determine how the zodiac influences are going to affect our lives. The question is, so if we're talking about star constellations, far, far away from us, how do they affect our behavior and our destiny? Says the Zohar, you have to remember, that's not exactly the way it is. It's not that the stars, far, far away from us, they send us some vibrations, and that affects our lives. The Zohar explains in Parashat Itro, speaking about face reading, that, you know, in the Hebrew language, the word for face is panim, which is the same letters of pnim, inside. So when you want to know what's going on inside somebody's heart, you look at their face, because looking at the heart is not going to help you. You can't see the heart. And anyway, the person is usually dressed up. And even if you see him naked or the chest is naked, you can see the heart. You see only the chest. And there's a skin layer and muscles, and then the rib cage and so on. You can't see the heart. However, if you want to know what's in the person's heart, you look at his face. And the face projects what's happening in the heart and in the mind of the person. And then the Zohar says something very peculiar, very important. You want to know what is the mood of the universe. You want to know what is projected on humanity. You look at the face of the universe. And the face of the universe is Rakia, the sky. The sky above us, what we see is the face of the universe. You want to know how the universe feels. How does it feel right now? And how did it feel on the moment of your birth? Then you look at the star formation. The star formation reflects what's happening right now and here. Who gave us this gift? The Creator. Now, since the star formation is not exactly fitting astrology as we know today, so it is still, when we look at the moon, it's a new sign. So yes, if somebody was born yesterday, in the Hebrew calendar, he was born in the 28th day of Aries. Okay? However, the solar sign of Taurus started on March 21st. That was 2 weeks ago. Okay? So what are we talking about? So if somebody was born in the last 2 weeks, what sign is he? So yes, his son was supposedly in Taurus, but Taurus does not exist in the sky anymore. Okay? So it means there is a Taurus effect on the person, but he was born in Aries. And his sign is Aries, because he was born in the Hebrew month of Aries. So I explained it many times, but a lot of people don't get it. I hope this time most people got it. Okay, so now we look at the chart in front of us, and we see there is a pattern. The number four, which is the Tetragrammaton, plays a very important game over here, and it's between the four letters of the Tetragrammaton and the four elements, which basically are shadows of the same thing. And it's like a big kaleidoscope. We have a formation of few forces that they change, and they change every month. So if you want to analyze Taurus, we go to the spring, and we see that all 3 months of the spring, in the core basic level, the spring is Sfirat Chochmah, the letter Yud of the Tetragrammaton, Sfirat Chochmah, and that means fire. What does it mean, Chochmah? Chochmah means pure, raw energy. Okay? Or, if we bring it down, the element of fire. According to the Kabbalists, fire, the element of fire and also Chochmah, it's about raw energy and ongoing creativity. So, in the core, Aries, Taurus, and Gemini, all three of them are fire because they belong to the spring. That's in the Kabbalistic astrology. All of them are supercharged with energy. All of them are very motivated. All of them are very creative. All of them, all three of them, are very hard to harness and to control, because the energy of Chochmah is very strong, pushing them forward, and that's why many times they're very unpredicted. Okay, so because of so much power, how, and fire means also left column in the Kabbalistic terminology. Left column means selfishness. Very strong driven people, however, there is a very strong tendency towards selfishness. Okay, very strong motivation, but in the core, fire, you know, fire consumes all the time. The moment fire stops taking, it dies. Therefore, all three, Aries, Taurus, and Gemini, if they are not really being raised, trained, exercise to be spiritual, they could be troublesome by being very selfish, very self-contained, and very non-productive to the environment because of that very strong selfishness. Now, if now we take all three, now we want to focus on Taurus. So if you look at the three signs, what makes them different if all of them are fire? You have in every triplet of every sign, of every season, three signs, and three signs are in the order of right, left, and center. Right column is always chesed, loving kindness, and giving. Left column is judgment and receiving. Central column is the balance. So, if we are looking at Taurus, we see that Taurus is the left column of the spring, which means basically this is double fire. So if you're talking about selfishness and creativity and energy, this is square. It's like fire by square. So everything is more intense. Selfishness is more intense. Creativity is very much intense. And it's all around the self, when the person is not really spiritually raised or committed. Now we have also the what people know from regular astrology, Western astrology, it is an earth sign. Okay? The sign, the element that every sign has in Western astrology, it has also the same pattern of of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But it's hard to see that because it's different every season. Okay, why is it different? Because you see, if you look at the spring, you see the first sign of the spring is fire. Aries is a fire sign, and the spring is fire. If you go to the summer is water, and the first sign of the summer is Cancer, which is a water sign. The fall is air, and the first sign of the fall is Libra, which is an air sign. So, and the same thing with the winter, Earth and Capricorn is an earth sign. So everything goes, and that's why it will always be in the rhythm. If you go to Aries, fire, earth, air, water. So I just, these are the elements of Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and Cancer. Again, fire, earth, air, and water. But if we continue, after Cancer is Leo, again, the same sequence, fire, earth, air, water. We came to Scorpio. Now we start again with fire, Sagittarius, fire, earth, air, and water, which means we have that sequence repeating itself. So all of this picture is very precisely, mathematically, very much aligned. So what is earth? Earth is, let's go to the winter, which is an earth, and we look at the hay, malchut, the element earth, it's desire to receive, which is again, motivation, lack, need, desire. So if the Taurus is earth, and it has also double fire, that is, could be very dangerous, which means, if Taurus people are not spiritual, they could be extremely materialistic, very energetic, very powerful, dangerous. Why? Because when all of these talents and power, and also remember the spring is the Chochmah. Chochmah is the light of wisdom. This is super power energy. When this is targeted only to selfishness, that could be very not constructive. And the result, we know Kabbalistically, whenever, remember that, whenever the light of Chochmah is available, here it is intensified, double fire, if you're not going by the rules, that can explode in your face, which means the more energy, we know that from all, you know, everything we do in this world, when you drive a car and the car is very powerful and it has a very, very strong engine, and you're driving very fast on the highway, okay, and you make the slightest mistake, the consequences could be horrible relatively to a car that has, you know, a very not powerful engine. And so you're not driving that fast. And if you make a mistake, so the results are not that horrific. So we understand that with Taurus, we have this danger of a very much powerful, which means when Taurus focus on something and they want to do it, they have powers that most people don't have. The problem, if this is selfish, that one mistake can really create a huge explosion. Now, if you add to it earth, which means, again, materialism, self-centeredness, egotism, me and myself, and all of that that is connected to the desire to immediately achieve fulfillment with no consideration with anything, you have a problem. Okay? Explosive, dangerous, could be very painful. That's why you see people from the sign of Taurus, or people have a lot of Taurus in their zodiac chart, that that are motivated, driven, pointed, which means goal-oriented. However, they can achieve almost whatever they want. However, that can, on the road or even by achieving what they want, that could be explosive, which means that when you're not really, you're playing with fire. When you're not really understanding the laws of the universe and you think that it's possible just because you want it, you should get it. And just because you worked hard for it, you're supposed to have it. That doesn't mean that you're going to have it. And that's why you could see many times people of the sign of Taurus, on one hand, really, really driven, powerfully successful, and then boom, explosion, losing everything, and then you have to start all over again. Okay, so what we have in that context, not just for Taurus people, the sign of Taurus could be kind of when you're not behaving by the rules of the universe and you're trying just to use everything you've got to focus on achieving selfish needs and desires and goals. Don't be surprised that you're going to get some electrocuted, a shock of a kind of a coming back to reality, in the sign of a, sorry, in the sign of Taurus. So let's continue. So what do we learn from that? Just about Taurus. I'm not going to go too much of it because if you can always open the page about Taurus in any site that is dealing with that. So Taurus are materialistic, driven, powerful, centered. They want something. They can focus on it. They will get it. Try to stop a Taurus on its mission. Dangerous, not very much recommended because you'll be run over by a Taurus. And therefore, also you can say like bull in a china shop, they don't really care about the little details and sensitivities of other people. They see the goal. They are goal oriented. They focus on it. They're very stubborn about it. They go for it. And who cares about what's standing on the way? Why? Because you're so targeted, target-oriented, goal-oriented, and you're so powerful also, you can run over. And you know, a lot of Taurus people, you have victims on the way. People who are much more sensitive to others and sensitive in general, they can be very much hurt living with Taurus or working with Taurus, with people of the Taurus sign. So one tikkun we know about Taurus is on the way to your goal, make sure that the goal does not justify the means, which means sensitivity, look around, don't step on others, and that will cushion your high power energy, double fire and earth, very high power energy, being sensitive to others, sometimes slowing down, being more into giving and caring and sharing, which will get you out of focus. That seems to be that your logic will say it will cost me a lot, because I can get things done only when I'm focusing on getting it done. No, when you come out of that focus, focal point, and think about not hurting people and also helping people on the way, and more than that even, thinking about how can you turn your great desire into service for others, that will save you from explosion. Because the only power that can cushion that energy of fire, fire, earth is the energy that is called chesed. Chesed means loving, kindness, caring, doing something for others. It looks like you're giving up your energy, your power, your time, your money, but you're basically creating yourself a cushioning energy, a cloud of protection that will harness that awesome energy that instead of exploding every once in a while in your life, that energy will stay because, as it says in the Bible, in the Tanakh, charity will stand forever. Because so you think you're giving up, you're not giving up. You are gaining security, a cloud of protection, and more than that, you're gaining building a real vessel that can contain the awesome power of Taurus. So this is a very important message for the tikkun of Taurus. Yes, you can focus on achievements. You can focus on materialistic achievements. You can be very successful. You don't want it to explode in your face. Do something for others. Make sure that everything you do will somehow be under a dome of protection that you generate chesed, kindness, love, service to others that will save you from exploding once in a while and having this shock of, I thought I'm making it, and boom, you lost it. Okay, so let's move on about some other aspects of Taurus. Okay, according to the Book of Formation, this is an amazing book, very powerful. The first book, really, of Kabbalah that we can study as a textbook. It is related in the tradition to Abraham the Patriarch. And this book speaks about the structure of the universe. And among all the others, it speaks about the Hebrew letters as the building blocks of the universe. So when we are talking about the forces that are behind every sign, the Book of Formation, Sefer Yetzirah, is giving us two letters for every sign. For the planet Venus, that is the ruling planet over Taurus, we have the letter Pei. And for Taurus itself, we have the letter Vav, which means the inner spiritual DNA of Venus, the planet of love, is the letter Pei, the Hebrew letter Pei. And of Taurus is the Hebrew letter Vav. These two letters are very, both of them, every letters are very powerful. And now, let us see how does that affect our understanding of Taurus. Before that, we have also the every sign, according to the Tikkuni Zohar, every sign has also a tetragrammaton. We said the tetragrammaton is the original DNA of the universe. Different permutation of the tetragrammaton, we have 12 of them only. Mathematically, you can have only 12 permutations of the tetragrammaton. The one for Taurus, 12 to 12 signs of the zodiac, the one for Taurus is Yud, Hey, Hey, and Vav, which is very important to understand. It is also the tetragrammaton of the Mashiach, the tetragrammaton of the Messianic age. Why? Because if we look from right to left, the Yud is the energy source. The first Hey from the right is the vessel of the upper energy light that, like the energy, the storage of life, and then it gives it to the other letters, to the lower to the lower levels of reality, the physical levels of reality. So in the original tetragrammaton, you have Yud Hey, and then you have Vav Hey. Why? The Vav brings the light from the upper to first Hey to the second Hey. So the Vav looks like a pipe because it brings the light in. But if the Hey goes up, the lower Hey, the vessel, and connects to the upper Hey, now it means that the tikkun process is complete. We don't need to receive our light from or through the Vav. We can receive it directly from the Hey. And that means that we have direct access to the sources of livelihood, the sources of energy, and the sources of wisdom, which means that we have very high voltage forces of energy of all kind, wisdom, sustenance, health, everything in the month of Taurus. And that this is what this sequence is saying. Also, the Tikkuni Zohar says there is a verse that is connected to it, which the initials of that verse are this sequence. And the verse is Italel Amitalel Haskel Veyadoa. And that verse basically says getting wiser and getting more connected to the above. Okay? So that means during the month of Taurus, we can attain, draw, not just energy of livelihood, sustenance, health, but also the energy of wisdom from above. During this time, by studying, meditating, the universe is more available, which means it is easier to tap into the source of power for all of us. Okay? Now, controlling the month of Taurus, whoever knows about this most holy prayer, the Anna Bekoach, which is based on what is called the name of 42 letters. It has seven lines. The fifth line, Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatecha, is ruling over Venus and over Taurus. The initials, Chet Kuf Bet Et Nun Ein, that these are the initials. This is the sequence that by using that key the Zohar is teaching us through meditation, we can enter the windows of the window of Venus and then the windows of Taurus and Libra, because Venus is also a ruling planet over Libra, and then we can access to the code of good luck and good fortune flowing in this month. So it is very much powerful to meditate on the fifth line of the Anna Bekoach, especially every day during the month of Taurus, to draw that power, to enter that code window of Venus and Taurus and tilting the energy towards our needs. Okay. Pei and Vav, we can get a lot of understanding what Pei and Vav stand for. But we know that Hebrew letters are also numbers. Pei is the number 80. Vav is the number 6. 86 is a very famous, powerful number. This is the number for the name of God, Elohim, the name that represents experiencing God's light through judgment. It's also, by many Kabbalists, emphasized that it's also the number for the word kos. Kos means in Hebrew a cup, but it also means a vessel, which means which means there's a very strong frequency of building vessels during this month. The vessel, as we said, for not just that we have a flow of so much energy, you have also the vessel to contain that flow. For instance, when we are using a cup of wine for Kiddush, the meditation is a cup costs is 86, Peivav. This is the vessel for bringing in the light of Shabbat, holidays, Brit Milah, wedding, whatever, any powerful energy that is available in the universe. So we are talking about building a goblet, a vessel to contain God's bliss that is very much available in plenty during the month of Taurus. Okay. Now we have something else connected to it, because the two parashot that start the month of Taurus are usually Acharei Mot and Kedoshim. Parashat Acharei Mot, this year, 5784, was read on the Shabbat Mevarchim, Shabbat on the blessing of the new moon, the Shabbat before the new moon. Okay? And what's a very interesting is that in that parasha, you have 80 verses. In Parashat Kedoshim, which is the parasha of the week coming after, you have 64 verses, and it says that the code for 64 is Ve-Noga. Vav, Noga. Noga is Venus. Okay? So, and if it's not a leap year, Acharei Mot and Kedoshim are being read together, and they always come in the beginning of the month of Taurus. So you have Pei Vav encoded in the two parashot. What is the message of the two parashot for us in the month of Taurus? So Parashat Acharei Mot is dealing with two things. In the beginning, it's dealing with the death of the sons of Aaron. Why did they die? They were so high during the dedication of the tabernacle. The energy was so intense. They wanted more. And they didn't think about anything else, but they wanted more. So they took trays with incense and ran into the Holy of Holies. And the fire of God consumed them. Why? Because they did not play by the rules. They were not supposed to do that. It was not the day. It was not Yom Kippur. It was the first day of Nisan. It was not their job. It was their father's job. And many other things. Which means, if you behave like the Taurus, I want it now, I want all the energy, and I don't want anybody to stand in my way. If you don't play by the rules, the fire, as we said before, will consume you. Okay, and that's what happened to them. They simply played with too much voltage, and they could not handle that. That's the beginning of Parashat Acharei Mot. After that, Parashat Acharei Mot, most of the parasha is dealing with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which means in order to achieve atonement for, and you know, not only Taurus have this thing of addicting too high. You know, some people through alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, nicotine, coffee, any kinds of addictions. Money, sex, there's no end of how many addictions can have. You know, I want it, I want to feel high right now, and I care about nothing. Okay, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is about cleansing all the scars, that all the PTSD, all the post-traumatic events that we have, because not just stores get burned, every person who gets high without any caring for others without any control, without understanding the cosmic laws that you cannot connect to too much and without being burnt. So the Day of Atonement is about raising yourself spiritually to connect, to reconnect yourself to spiritual harmony, and by that, cleansing, atoning all those explosives, explosions that and traumas you created for yourself. So that's Parashat Achrimot. Also, Taurus. Taurus is always in the time of the counting of the Omer. And the counting of the Omer is a time of cleansing, healing, steadily, slowly, slowly, step by step, cleansing and elevating towards the level of total freedom. Yom Kippur leads you into total freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from your own bondage, fears, anxieties, post-traumatic syndromes, and stuff like this. So Parashat Achrimot is very like precise for Yom Kippur, but also for the sign of Taurus. What about Parashat Kedushim? Parashat Kedushim is about the repetition of the what's written on the two tablets. It's all about the rules of achieving spiritual completion. And of course, the most important of them is the verse, chapter 19, verse 18, love others as you love yourself. Okay? Which means, as many sages says, this is the core verse of the whole Torah. How come? Again, as we said about Taurus, on one hand, as human beings, we are basically, how should I say, we were created as human beings to desire with fire, with passion, God's light. On the other hand, it is all conditioned, and that is the creation point of reality, of humanity, and all of reality and the whole universe, is yes, you can get with passion, with desire, all the bliss, the pleasure, the enlightenment in that the universe created just for you. However, there's a catch. If you don't build a real vessel for it, in which vessel? The vessel of loving others. When if you're not committed to that, then judgment will take over your life. What does it mean, judgment? You make a mistake, poof, consequences. So you get high and bye. And of course, you get very traumatic because you get hit right and left because you don't want to realize there are rules. You can't just take. You can't just be selfish. You cannot just be egocentric. You want to have to feel it good, very legitimate. First, you have to make others feel good. And that is the core spine of the whole biblical teaching. All the cosmic rules. It's all about it. You can't go around it. So here we come to the aspect of love. We all know that Venus is known as the planet of love. And therefore, we know that also Taurus has a lot to do with love. What is the problem? That for many, many, many centuries, people mixed up between love and passion, materialistic, sexual passion, or physical passion for physical joy. That is the catch, and that's a problem for Taurus and during the time of Taurus. And right now, this is also a very important lesson for all of humanity. What does that mean? Okay. We are part of the most materialistic era in the history of humanity. Never in history, we humans have been so rich. The amount of assets, property that we own, the amount of asset and property that we generate yearly is without any comparison to any era in the history of humanity. Yes, in ancient times, there were always very legendary rich people. How many? We have never had so many millionaires. Today, you know, a lot of people own homes, property, savings, valuables that you can't even compare the average wealth that an average human being is capable of collecting, accumulating during his lifetime. Again, this has nothing to compare to anything in previous eras, in which most people were very poor, and even the rich ones could not afford what, you know, middle class or working class people today can afford. Healthcare, antibiotics, cellular phones. These kind of properties did not exist till just a few decades ago. Okay, books, access to knowledge, paying for knowledge, learning online, buying, ordering books through the internet, or just simply printed wisdom that you can use in order to learn profession, whatever. We are in an era that the whole system of the last few centuries of accumulating knowledge in order to achieve wealth is not valid anymore. You have so many people right now, they don't have any degree but they can make so much money because they learn through the social media, the internet. So, however, we said Taurus could be very materialistic. Our era is the most materialistic era ever. Why? Because first of all, we can afford it. Second, we are all exposed to the same, basically, media all around the planet. And therefore, we are all being targeted. We're all a target crowd for selling the same brands, the same products. And we are being raised since we are babies to become addicts in the consumer society, consumer civilization. If you don't consume, you die. Which means in many, many places, if you don't use the brands, the luxurious brands, you don't count to be part. Or if you're not just shopping and, you know, if you're not really part of the system that you have to work very hard in order to be able to spend all of that money. So most of us spend much more money than we need on the products and services that most of them we don't really need. We can settle for much less. And we work much harder to gain that. And we still owe a lot of money. So basically, we become, I don't know if you watched the movie Matrix, each one of us is becoming a little battery engine to move the great Molech, the great super god of the growing economy of the country or humanity. More than that, by your energy that you generate, you create huge systems of bureaucracy, either of the great big international companies or the government system all over the world, either the local government or the planetary government, like the UN and all kind of international organizations. All of them, we're talking about millions and millions of people that are being fed through that network that you, as part of that civilization, have to feed all the time by working hard, paying taxes, paying interest for the loans that you took in order to continue consuming. And we are like now in the peak of this kind of materialistic civilization of creating, being basically a slave to that religion of creating fortune and weight and spending it. Okay, what's the problem with that? You're not free. You're not free, you are enslaved. You are enslaved to so many addictions that you're not even aware of their existence. Addictions to spending, shopping, buying, achieving, trying to achieve all kinds of short-term fulfillment, materialistic fulfillment based on food that you eat, clothes that you wear, all kinds of luxuries that you buy, spend, traveling. You're being told by watching movies since you're a kid how to make your money and how to spend your money. And just by coincidence, that it's all fitting all of these companies that basically you're working to feed them and to sustain them because they get richer and richer and you become just poorer and poorer with the time. So who is the master and who is the servant? Okay? As long as you are the servant, as long as you're addicted to all kinds of physical needs, which is a very Taurian thing, okay, very much of Taurus, then you are not free. So what's so important about? So we know that what the sages are teaching us, that wherever you have the disease, you have also the remedy. When we are talking about the month of Iyar, the month of Taurus, Taurus in Hebrew is Shor. Okay? Shor is also judgment. When you have the four holy beasts in Ezekiel's chart, read the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, the chariot, Ezekiel's chariot, the Taurus is again left column, like the Taurus, like that's the ox, the Taurus. Okay, judgment. However, Shin Vav Reish, an ox, is also Vav Shin Reish, one of the 72 names of God. The value of it, it's a number. We know every Hebrew letter is a number. So the value for Taurus Shor is 506. 506 is the same numerical value of Ahavat Chinam, unconditional love. It is also the same numerical value of the first sequence of the name of 42 letters, De'ana Bekoach, Aleph Bet Gimel Yutav Tzadik, which is this sequence of letters that you're watching right now, Aleph Bet Gimel Yutav Tzadik. This sequence of letters has the ability, and also Vav Shin Reish, has the ability to lift us up into that frequency of unconditional love. The only way to heal the judgment of the ox, of the Taurus, of the Elohim 86, of the double fire and earth, which is the makeup of Taurus, The only way, the only tikkun is unconditional love. And as we said, you find it in the parasha of Kedoshim, Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha. Love others as you love yourself. However, there's a continuation to that verse, Ani Adonai, I am God, which means when we love other people in order to get things, which means why do I love a certain person? Because I get something from that person. I get physical love, I get attention, I get money, I get service, whatever. This is not love. This is dependency. I'm talking about unconditional love, which means, it says, God says, you want to connect to me, love people first unconditionally. When you learn how to love other people unconditionally, you basically, it's the only way you train yourself to connect to me, the source of love. So we have a very powerful tool over here. So yes, the month of Taurus is about physical, mundane, materialistic love for products, for aesthetics, for music, for pleasure of sex, pleasure of food, pleasure of beautiful places you can own or travel to and stuff like this. It's all very much towards the religion of our society, our civilization. However, the other side of the coin is unconditional spiritual love. The love for others just because this is the rule of the universe. Taurus, if we go to the name of the month, Iyar, the month of light, but also Iyar is also the same letters of Yare, Ah. And we study, when we study the parashot of Achrimot and before that, that Ah is the first stage to reach any level of spirituality. Why are? When you respect the laws of the universe and you are careful not to break them. When you respect the power of God and you are really careful not to abuse the power of God. This is awe. This is the wisdom we spoke about that we can draw during the month of Taurus. The wisdom, that means if I really want to achieve all the great power that is available for me, I need to love others. Why? This is a universal law you cannot break. You cannot go around it. You cannot ignore it. You have to apply it. You have to embrace it. It has to be the pillar of your state of mind, which means you want life to be good. Make sure that you make other people's lives good. Why? This is how the universe works. This is called practicality. Taurus are very practical. When you understand the laws of the universe and you respect them, you know you cannot play with them and abuse them. So you love other people, although you don't feel like, but you know this is a cosmic rule you cannot break, you cannot simply ignore. It's a main cosmic rule. But then comes another thing. The month of Iyar is also in, by the way, Iyar, the word Iyar is not mentioned in the five books of Moses even once. Okay? Not even in the rest of the books of the Tanakh. But the month of Ziv is being mentioned in the book of Kings. Ziv is another word in Hebrew for shining light. Okay? We have also planet Venus in Hebrew, Noga, Noga is shining light also. And we have on this month the day of the celebration of the completion of the Zohar by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai on the 18th day of Iyar. This is the day of the departure of Rabbi Shimon, the day that is known as Lag BaOmer, the holiday of the Zohar. Zohar means splendor, light, again. So, in order to gain this high frequency, high voltage light that is available in the month of Taurus, you're allowed to be goal motivated. You're allowed to be passionate. You're allowed to be powerful, but you need awe, which means awareness to the laws of the universe and respect to those laws. Okay, let's see what does that mean. Rabbi Ashlag, the great Kabbalah teacher, the founder of the Kabbalah modern movement in the 20th century, explains it very simple and very clearly. He's asking the question, why is it that love others as you love yourself is the main pillar of all the rules of the Torah, of all what was given on Mount Sinai? And he explained it as follows. He says something very important. He says, the only way to give the Torah, which means not just the elevation to prophetic level of Mount Sinai, of the whole Israelite nation, a bunch of slaves that ran away from Egypt just 50 days earlier, but it's the law that was given, because when we, the Israelites, experienced that revelation, the Zohar says, God started to speak, I am the Lord your God, you know, the first of on the two tablets. The souls of the Israelites left their bodies and they had an amazing experience of unity with the universe. An out-of-body experience of a whole nation. And it says that the moment we were not in a physical body, we could see the words, as it says in the Torah, we saw the words. How could you see the words? When we are not confined to a physical body, then you can see how every word that came from above not just was engraved on the stone of the tablets, but how what each word meant by rules of cause and effect. Which means what was given on Mount Sinai was not just a set of whims of a bored creator like some people think. You know, it had nothing else to do, just give us all of these rules. No, these rules were very precise. These are cosmic rules, and if you obey them, respect them, and have awe of them, you can achieve greatness. You can achieve fulfillment. You can achieve redemption. You can achieve true, real freedom from any fear, even freedom from death. That was the promise on Mount Sinai. So Rabbi Ashlag is asking, so how is that connected to love others as you love yourself? And he says, very simple. The only way you can be free is when you live in a society that accepts the law of loving others. What does it mean? He says something very simple. When you are part of a society of 600,000 people, that all of them agree to really do whatever they can for everybody else's welfare, when you feel that everybody around you is dedicated to fulfill your needs, you feel totally free to express your creativity. You're totally independent to give the gifts you are supposed to give to all of humanity. If we go to Parashat Kedoshim, we said it's a condensed version of, but a little bit more expanded, of the 10 sayings on the two tablets. And it says over there, for instance, that you need to have justice in court. You have to go by justice. You cannot prefer the poor over the rich man just because he's poor. You cannot prefer the rich and the powerful just because he's rich and powerful. Why is that important? Humanity is going right now through a new wave of redefinition of who we are and how do we define society and define democracy. And I think a lot of people really forgot the main idea of democracy. Democracy exists in order to serve the people. In a democracy, people are willing to give away some of their freedom. For instance, the freedom to use money. You make money, you pay taxes, so there is a government that takes away some of your freedoms. However, the government gives you service in return. And what does it mean? If you go to court and you can't expect justice, why? Because the person who sues you is a person who's poor. You were very successful. You honestly produced a lot of fortune. But that poor person says, and it's not right, he's lying. He says that you owe him a lot of money. And just because he's poor and you're rich, court is going to give him the money. You're not free. This is not freedom. The basic idea of freedom, when we're talking about modern constitutions that are based on Mount Sinai Revelation, every human being has the right to be happy. How can you be happy if you're successful and then poor people come and say, he's successful, so he has to give us his money? No, I'm successful. This is my money. If I want, I can give you charity. I can give tithing, but I don't have to give you everything. No. Society will take from you a very high taxes to pay for the people who don't want to work that hard as you are. So I'm not free. I'm not free to produce value, fortune, assets, intellectual property. Which worth is more than the real estate? I'm not free. The moment you don't feel that people serve you, and it doesn't matter, it could be somebody working for you, giving you service, but there's no one who's going to force the law of equality and justice. This is, by the way, the basics of society. Before Mount Sinai Revelation, there was a previous covenant, the covenant of Noah and God. And Noah represented all of humanity. Mount Sinai Revelation was only for the Israelites. But Noah was a covenant, the seven Noahide laws, it meant for everybody. And over there, the law for justice, for judges, for policemen, which means enforcing the law. But if today the judge or the police, they are not going to enforce the law, why? Because they just decided you don't deserve it. The moment you don't live in a society that you feel that people around you, the judge, the policeman, the person who sells you something, the person who sells you some service, the clerk, whatever, you want to open a business, and then you feel that the whole government treats you like you are a thief or something. Why? They're supposed to help me and not to stop me on the way. The moment people don't feel love others as you love yourself, the structure of society is not justified anymore. And because we reached a place that we have all kinds of sick ideologies that simply go astray, which means you go to court, you have no idea what's going to be the judgment. Why? Why don't you know? Somebody stole, he has to pay. No, you don't know. Maybe the judge is going to be more like he doesn't like you because you're rich or because you belong to certain political group or certain race or nationality. The moment you don't have these rules of justice, love others as you love yourself. I am God. We are in an era that freedom of the individual is essential, and all the planets and all the forces around are forcing, especially the coming few decades, forcing humanity through revolution after revolution after revolution. Some of them slow, some of them violent and abrupt, till humanity is going to find that without awe for the laws of the universe that are above, people are retrying to invent society and legality and justice again. It's a tremendous power of light. Without the awe of that light, you get burned, you get hurt, till finally you simply let go and you simply find that these rules are eternal, these rules are cosmic, and you just have to understand them better. Otherwise, you're going to pay dearly. So this is the basic tikkun of humanity right now, about unconditional love, real justice. You can't have people interpreting the law in such unjust way like today, and you can't have a society that is so unjust in its, you know, in the division of power and who's holding the power, what he's doing with it. So that is going to change. Let's go back to Venus. So we know that Venus is a letter P. The letter P has double two sides. One side, the Zohar said, it looks like a snake hiding its head. Who is the snake? The evil inclination. So if Venus is the planet of love, if it's love for physical pleasure, romance, money, beauty, and art, this is the snake. Your natal Venus speaks to the way you express your desires, your passions, what you value, and how you relate to and experience pleasure. It also influences how you socialize, relate to, and attract others. You can be basically an agent of the snake if you're addicted to all the physical materialistic aspect of what we just said. But if you overcome the materialism and you obey the laws, the spiritual laws, you see that within the bet you have the letter, within the letter pay, you have the letter bet. The letter Bet is the first letter of the Torah. It symbolizes the connection between the heaven and the earth and the bridge between them. And that's total spirituality. That's the other side of Venus. If you don't connect to it, then you're part with the snake, and that is addictions, no freedom. So you have in the month of Iyar the issue of healing. Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord your God, Ani Adonai of Echa, initials Iyar, as we said, the power of healing. You have also the secret of manna, and the manna is sustenance. All the bliss is waiting. You just have to turn one side to another. It's two sides of the same coin. Thank you so much, and have an amazing, successful month of Taurus.